today we're going to share communion together. And I want to start by talking about the value of what we do when we eat this bread and drink from this cup. Probably the passage that best describes this for us is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 23 and see what it says about the importance of what we do when we share communion. It starts this way: "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" This practice that we engage in from time to time has meaning and it has value. Paul tells us that the bread represents the body of Jesus, which was broken and beaten and bruised on our behalf. And the cup represents his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. That is what we remember when we share communion together. And I want to encourage you to think about the importance of this. First of all, Jesus shows us that doing this together really matters. Notice that Paul says here that the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he took the cup. The night he was betrayed, he knew what awaited him, that over the next few hours he would be betrayed, he would be abandoned by his closest friends, he would be put on trial, beaten savagely, and nailed to a cross, and his life would end. Of all the things he could have spent his time doing, knowing that that was about to happen, he chose to take the time to do this. That tells me this matters. This is important. Paul's message in these verses tells us this is important. He sets aside this passage of scripture to talk about the meaning of communion, the value of communion, what it means when we do this, and why it's important. This matters. The early church tells us that this is important. When they met together to worship, and they did so often, most of the time they would celebrate communion together to remind them of Jesus' sacrifice and to remind them to celebrate and to be thankful for his love and for his goodness. This is something that is incredibly important for us as followers of Christ. And because it matters, we're given instructions as to how to do this and what value to place on this. Look at the next couple of verses. He says, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." He says it's important for us to examine ourselves when we do this, to take some time to have a conversation with God and to invite him to search our hearts. Think about what we're recognizing when we do this. We're recognizing Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf to forgive us of our sins and to give us new life. I think it's an important time for us to pause and to ask ourselves the question, is there any sin in my life that I haven't dealt with? Is there anything I'm holding on to that God has said to let go of? Are there things in my life that dishonor him, that I've been hiding from him, or that I've been avoiding dealing with? And this is a time to be honest with God about those things. I think it's also can be a time of renewal for us in our walk with Christ, that as we remember he died for us, to ask ourselves the question, am I living my life for him? 2 Corinthians 5:15 says it this way: "He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life would no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them." That verse tells us that when we remember that Jesus died for us, that should prompt us to make a decision. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live a life that honors him. I'm going to live a life that points others to him. I'm going to live a life that demonstrates my love and my appreciation for him and all that he's done for me. And so this is a time to examine ourselves and to ask the question, am I doing that? Am I living that kind of a life? And so we're going to do that in just a moment. Before we head back to get the bread and to get the cup, we're going to pause and just take some time just alone between you and God to invite him to search our hearts and to show us, God, is there any way in my heart that I've wandered from you? Is there any sin in my life that I haven't been dealing with, that I haven't addressed, that I haven't let go of, that you have told me you need to work on this, you need to change this and bring this before me? What might that be in my heart? And if anything comes to mind, if God brings anything to your mind, it's really important to be honest with him about it. To not make excuses, to not avoid it, to not pretend, well, it's no big deal, it doesn't really matter. If God shows us, he shows us for a reason. And so one of Jesus' followers, a guy named John, wrote these words in 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, if we claim to have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. John says we confess our sins. So there's an honesty before God. In other words, confessing our sins is the opposite of the first part of that passage where he says, if we claim we have no sin, it's that mentality that says, well, this wasn't my fault, or I couldn't help it, or everybody else is doing this, so it's okay, it's no big deal. No, John says we need to confess to him those areas in our lives where we are wrong. And confessing means we agree with God and we say, yes, God, this is sin. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to walk away from this and leave it behind. And his promise to us is this: when we confess to him, when we are honest with him, he forgives us and he cleanses us and makes us new again. That's amazing. And so whatever there might be in your life, if God points something out in your life, the goal is not to make you feel guilty. The goal is not to make you feel ashamed. The goal is to take it to him and say, okay, God, this is wrong. I turn away from this sin. I ask for your forgiveness. And once we've done that, there's no room for shame. There's no room for guilt anymore, because Jesus on the cross made full and complete provision for us to be absolutely forgiven. So we're going to pause for just a moment. And I just want to invite you, just between you and God, just invite him, Lord, search my heart. Show me if there is any sin in my life that I have not confessed to you, that I have not dealt with. And if he brings something to the surface, confess it to him, receive his forgiveness, and ask for strength to not give in to that temptation any longer. Let's do that now. Father, I thank you this morning that we can be completely honest with you. We don't have to hide things from you, and we can't anyways, because you know us. But you invite us to come and to talk with you about those areas in our lives where we know we've gotten off track. I thank you that you offer us forgiveness and grace and a brand new start. And so, God, we choose not to make excuses. We choose not to rationalize disobedience. We choose to bring it to you, to be honest with you, to receive your forgiveness and to walk in the new life that you have offered us. Thank you that you love us, Lord. Thank you for the relationship you invite us into. In Jesus' name, amen. We've talked about God's forgiveness and the price that was paid on our behalf. As we hold the bread, the body of Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross, his body was wounded, beaten, and broken. The Bible says, by his wounds, we are healed. Before the cross, Jesus was whipped 39 times. Why did that happen? Because he was paying a price on our behalf. Just as his death paid the price for the forgiveness of our sins, the Bible says that the wounds he sustained on his body paid the price for the healing of sickness. By his wounds, we are healed. I want to encourage you, before we eat the bread together, to pause. And as we hold the bread, to have a conversation with God about any physical sicknesses you might have, and to ask him to touch and to heal. It might be something as simple as this: Jesus, I thank you for paying the price for healing. I come to you again and ask you to touch my body, to remove this sickness, to mend what is broken, and to heal me. And I confess, by your wounds, I am healed. Maybe you don't have any sicknesses, but you know a friend who does, or a family member who does. Maybe this is a time to pray that prayer on their behalf and to ask God for a healing miracle in their body. But let's pause and, just between you and God, have that conversation with him and invite him to do the impossible on your behalf or on behalf of someone else. Jesus, we confess that by your wounds we are healed, that your broken body is enough to heal sickness. Just as your sacrifice, you purchased forgiveness for us, you also paid a high price for healing. We ask you to do the impossible, to heal bodies that are sick and broken, for the glory of Jesus. With thankfulness, we receive the body. Let's eat together. When we hold the cup, the blood of Jesus, the Bible says it cleanses us from our sins. But it goes further in Ephesians 1:7. It says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. It says he purchased our freedom with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus sets us free. What is it you need freedom from? Maybe freedom from oppression, anxiety, depression, hopelessness, guilt, addictions. What is it you need to be free from today? We're going to pause again in just a moment and encourage you, if there's something that has enslaved you, to have a conversation with God about that and to invite him to break those chains and to set you free. Maybe there's nothing like that in your life right now, but you have a friend or a family member who's fighting some battles. And maybe this is a time to pray on their behalf, for the God of all freedom to intervene on their behalf and to set them free, to deliver them from whatever has been oppressing them. Or maybe it's a family member who is distant from God right now, and it breaks your heart to see where they are spiritually, that they've drifted away. Maybe this is a time to pray for them, that God would renew them and that God would draw them back to himself. I want to share this verse with you. Jeremiah 24:7 says this: I will give them hearts that recognize me as the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. Pray that prayer for anyone you know who has drifted away from God, that God would give them a new heart that recognizes him as King and Lord and Savior and Master. Pray that they would return to him with all of their hearts. So let's pause and have a conversation with God, just between you and him, inviting him to bring freedom, whether it's freedom in your life or for someone you know who is struggling right now. God, we pray for breakthroughs today. For those who have grown cold in their love for you, for those who have drifted from you, God, that you would call them back to yourself, that things would turn around in their lives this very day. that you would renew their hearts, God, and give them a hunger for you, a love for you that surpasses every other love in their lives. And Father, I pray that today would be a day of freedom. For those who are struggling, for those who are enslaved by addictions or anxiety or depression or guilt or hopelessness, God, that you would break those chains and set captives free today. In Jesus' name. One more thing before we drink the cup together. Just as we talked earlier about God's forgiveness of our sins, every one of us has someone in our lives who has wounded us as well, who has inflicted scars in our hearts. And today, this might be a time for you to ask God to forgive that person and to give you the grace and the strength to forgive as well. I know for me, one of the hardest things to do is to forgive. I think that's something that God asks us to do that is very difficult for most of us to do. And so have a conversation with him about that. Ask God to heal those wounds that have been inflicted on you. Ask God to heal the relationship. And ask God to heal that person, because many times hurting people hurt people. Many times when we wound another person, it's because of some wound in our life that is unresolved. And that hurt, that pain we feel comes out in sinful ways and causes pain in someone else's life. So maybe that person who wounded you, maybe today is a time to pray for God to bring healing to the woundedness that they have felt that led them to that point. So just pause and have that conversation with God. Ask him for his grace and for his mercy in your life and in the life of that other person. Let's pause and do that now. Lord, wherever there is conflict, we declare the peace of God. We pray for unity and we pray for renewal. We confess that the blood of Jesus sets us free from sin, from guilt, from oppression, and from bitterness and from grudges. You are mighty enough to free us from those things that the enemy uses to attack us. We pray that freedom will happen today in our lives, and we thank you in advance. With thankfulness, we receive the blood of Jesus. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord, for your love.